Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wilders and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
I think it's important for everybody listening to think, what do I do best and where do I shine and where do I see the biggest results? Do more of what's working and stop doing that stuff that you think you should be doing.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns.
Welcome back to episode number 44 of Perpetual Traffic. And on today's episode, I'm super excited because we have a special guest that is somebody that we've really been wanting to have on the show from the beginning when we were planning this out. One of the guests that we were hoping that we could really bring on the show because I know that she can bring a ton of value. The guest that we have on today is Amy Porterfield. And Amy Porterfield, odds are you already know who she is. In case you don't, Amy is actually one of the people that I have been following really from day one. The content that she puts out, it's just absolutely epic in so many ways. Amy has an audience where she teaches people things like Facebook ad strategies, how to grow an online business, how to sell with webinars, how to use webinars that convert. And she has an email list of 150,000 very loyal subscribers and, of course, a huge social media following. And I love Amy because she's always been so authentic. And I really resonate well with her messaging, how she is with her audience. But also what I love is even though Amy has a big majority of her audience is in kind of that, you know, getting started phase, what she does so well is why it's one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to every single week, is because she has a way of really explaining things to somebody that's at the very beginning stages, as well as somebody that's in their intermediate stages, as well as somebody that's at the very advanced level. And so I always get something when I listen to one of your episodes. I'm not sure if I told you this, but so we're excited to have you on because we're going to be talking about some really cool stuff today about how to use paid traffic for a product launch. And Amy, once again, thanks for coming on the show and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so very much for having me, and what a nice intro. I can't even believe you listened to my show, and I usually feel like a beginner in all I do. So the fact that you feel like you get something out of it because you are definitely not a beginner is really cool.
So we got Ralph on, we got Molly on as well. So how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Happy to have you, Amy. Total fangirl over here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that makes a clean sweep as far as fans go. So great to have you on. It's awesome.
And yeah, behind the scenes, I mean, I'm always talking about, hey, listen to this episode here. I'll send it to one of my team. Even if it's something like it's a beginner strategy, there'll be something small out there that you talk about that I really love, whether it's a time management thing or it's a strategy about Facebook ads. All right, so let's get right into it. So one of the questions that we get all the time is, if you're getting ready to run some kind of a product launch or a service offering launch, how do you plan out or how do you run traffic for a launch, whether you're, you know, a beginner, intermediate, advanced? And I know you've got a launch coming up that by the time this is published, you're listening now, it's probably live where people can learn more about it. So it's probably good timing. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So with my business, I do launches in a very specific way. So as we all know, there's a lot of different ways to launch. And inside my business, I like to keep things really simple. So I typically use webinars as the framework for my launches. So I don't do a three-part video series. I have in the past, it's just not my style. I don't love doing them as much as I love doing webinars. And so I do a series of live webinars throughout usually a two-week period of time. When the cart opens to the when the cart closes, I'm doing webinars throughout. And that's really how I do my launches. So if we want, we can kind of back up and talk about where the ads fit into all of that and where the content fits into all of that. But I wanted to get clear, like that's my launch is webinars.
Okay, actually, I want to back up even a little bit more. So this is, I think, a question that I have too, and a lot of people do, is how do launches fit in? I mean, I don't want to make this whole episode about launches, but I think it's an important question that we could maybe take a couple minutes to cover, because I know you're running evergreen campaigns throughout the year, and then you have launches a few times a year. So if you could just maybe just give us an overview of how that works on like an annual basis, and then we can dive into the strategy around your launches.
So my evergreen products are fairly new in my business. I've been doing business since 2010. And up until about a year ago, my entire business was a launching business. And anybody who's launched knows that that is completely exhausting and overwhelming after a few years. Because any launch you do, whether it be 2 weeks or a month or whatever you want to do, it definitely sucks up all of your time. And the problem with me doing live launches to create revenue in my business meant that I would go through a big windfall of money, maybe 1 month, and then 2 or 3 months, kind of nothing. And then again, a big windfall. And I'm kind of a safety girl. I don't necessarily like that style. So we started to talk about inside my business, how can we generate recurring revenue, but not necessarily do a membership site? I'm not ready for that. I haven't really put that on my goals yet. And so we still wanted to launch, but we also wanted to do some evergreen to give my team and myself a big fat break. It was just a lot. So what we decided was that we would, every time we created a new product, we'd come out with a live launch. And then after that, after maybe a few weeks or months, depending on our schedule, we would go out with an evergreen version of that product. But we typically might change some of the bonuses or the opportunity to make that live launch extra special. So we change a few things around, but it would go evergreen. So like my webinar course, we went live at the end of last year, and then we turned on evergreen, and we plan to go live with it in a few months as well. And when we go live with it, we want to make it extra special. So I'll think of different bonuses or different opportunities around the product so I can kind of differentiate the two. So that's kind of in a nutshell how we look at it.
Yeah, just to add on to that, number one, you know, a digital marketer, we totally know how you feel, right? Going from launch mode to how do we build a sustainable business where every month you aren't worried about what's the next launch, what's the next new product that we have to create, not only from the content side, but also marketing materials. And something that we started to do too, in terms of even when we do have a successful launch, how can we perpetuate that launch and still have the same experience for prospects in this launch series, but not committing all of the resources of our business, you know, to a 2 week launch that really takes over. So really, really cool that you're in the same spot there.
And I think this is the classic case of just working smarter instead of harder, because if you're caught in that continuous cycle of launch after launch after launch, as you said, it's exhausting. But repurposing that, provided that the content is evergreen, it's not changing much. I mean, that's certainly something that there's been a big revelation recently with the technology that I'm sure we're going to be talking about here on the show, that the conversion rates, you know, they might not be as great on a live launch, but your work and the effort that you have to put in and the maintenance is so much less, and you create that continuous revenue stream, which is awesome.
Very true. I'm with you guys all the way.
Yeah. Amy, you know, it's interesting talking about, you know, kind of having these live launches and then more of your evergreen campaigns. Can you talk a little bit about how your traffic strategy might differentiate between the two?
Yeah. So when we do a live launch, we put a lot of money into our Facebook ad strategy. And so driving traffic to, and I'm sure we'll get into this in more detail, but driving traffic to our pre-launch content and then driving traffic to the webinars and then driving traffic to the sales page. All of that is so condensed that it might be, let's say, $100,000 in a 2-week period of time, driving traffic to all these different places, depending on where we are in the launch. And then, of course, when we go evergreen, we want to be careful because now we have a few evergreen programs. I've got a Facebook 101 evergreen, a list building evergreen, a webinars evergreen. And so because of that, we look at it in terms of cycles, where we want to put a big focus at this moment, because we don't want to be competing with ourselves every minute with who we're targeting. And so we definitely are strategic about, okay, so right now, and this is actually something we're working on and experimenting with. So I'm sure I'll talk about it even more so when we get it locked in, but we're careful to say, okay, right now we're putting a big focus on the webinars course, then we might pull back a little and put a big focus on list builders. And so we're constantly playing with targeting and where our money's going between the three evergreen.
And just to really talk about that a bit further, you know, we, for example, we have a product called The Machine. It's about email marketing. And so when we go to do a live launch for The Machine, we're actually in one right now, you know, you have to set a budget, right?
Yes.
Like, what am I willing to spend? Like you said, you know, we're willing to put $100,000 on the table to really, you know, drive leads into all of this pre-launch content. And we don't necessarily know how it's going to convert, right? It's pretty scary. But on the other hand, once you have an evergreen or perpetual launch, you can kind of do the math backwards and you know, well, you know, based off of my conversion rates, this is what I should be paying per lead.
And one thing I always tell my students is when I throw out a number like $100,000 for a launch, that took a lot of time to get, you know, built up to, as you guys know, right? So in my early days when I was running ads, I was terrified to spend $1,000 on ads.
I get it.
So, I mean, it's all relative for sure. And it's something you want to work up toward. So never, ever think you need to start with those big numbers. But I'm sure everyone knows that.
Totally. Like, I've talked about Brendan Burchard earlier in the year. He was at the Joe Polish's Genius Network event, and he talked about, you know, if you're not spending at least $1,000 a day on Facebook, you haven't entered the modern era of marketing, period. And I reference that quote. I love it. I actually use it in some of my presentations now. And the point of that is not that you have to be starting out $1,000 a day. The point, his point of that statement was that people are giving up right away.
Yes.
Because they get frustrated with the complexity and the technical stuff. His point was that you need to be focusing on getting to that point. So you don't start out at $1,000 a day. You start out at $25 a day. A lot of our clients that are spending $500 or $1,500 a day started out at $25 or $50 and scaled up. But the point is this is an opportunity that's just, it's massive, and we don't know how long that this is going to, you know, it's going to be here for a long time, but it's a big opportunity for us small business owners to be able to reach our perfect target audience. And so it's the goal to get to that point. All right. So let's get into the strategy of how you run traffic for a launch, for a live launch.
All right, let's do it. So I always say that I have a very simple business. Luckily, it's been incredibly successful, but I like to keep things simple. I don't have a big team. I work with a lot of contractors. I only have one full-time employee and some part-time. So I do keep a pretty small team, and we are really focused on one goal at a time. And I say that because that helps us have huge success with our launches, but also we don't do tons and tons of stuff in our business. So those of you just starting out, when you hear me talk about how we use Facebook ads in a launch, you might find it really refreshing because it's really simple, but really effective. So the first thing we always do is we start out with some pre-launch content. And for me, that means a blog post and a few podcasts around the topic that I'm launching on. So like right now, I'm coming out with a course called Courses That Convert. So I have a blog post out there of 5 mistakes that most people make when wanting to create a course. And in the blog post, I have a content upgrade that dives a little bit deeper into the topic. And about 2 weeks before we go live with our first webinar, we drive a lot of traffic to that blog post. So that's kind of the very beginning thing that we do. And I also record 2 podcasts around creating a course, and I do 2 freebies inside those podcast show notes, and we start to drive traffic there as well. So we kind of trickle out some pre-launch content.
Awesome. Priming the pump.
Yes. I love that term.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And it's, I think it's important, you know, this is content, not in terms of the actual webinar that she's going to do as pre-launch content. She's priming the pump for the webinar, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right? So for example, even if you're doing a, you know, a three-part launch, so for the machine, we have three different lead magnets. Well, we will write blog posts that tease those lead magnets. So it's content that teases
pre-launch
content. Yeah, that right. will ultimately sell the product. So yeah, very, very cool.
Now that reminds me, I should have said something even more specific. And that is that when I'm driving traffic to my podcast, I forgot those aren't content upgrades. Those are now starting to mention the webinar. So the blog post has a free giveaway. The podcast has a bunch of really great, valuable stuff in it. And then I mentioned the webinar and I do that in 2 weeks in a row. So how it looks.
Especially because on the podcast, they're listening to your voice. It's more personalized.
Yes.
And then the webinar is a perfect transition from the podcast.
So true.
Okay. And so just to clear something up now, the first one, the blog post, 5 mistakes people make when creating a course with a content upgrade. So in case people are confused, when you say content upgrade, that is like a lead magnet within the blog post, correct?
Exactly.
So the blog post is a pre-launch kind of content, which is also kind of teasing, but it's got a content upgrade, which is a call to action to a lead magnet in the post where they can get more, like download the PDF or whatever it is in that blog post, so she can be generating leads from that. Of course, be building those custom audiences.
Yes, that's huge. So we're building custom audiences 2 weeks in advance of actually promoting the webinar. I'm not mentioning the webinar or the product whatsoever. And I'm adding a new layer this time where I'm going live. Actually, today I'm doing it. So just kind of coincidence of recording this, where I'm going to go live on Facebook, just use Facebook Live on my Facebook page and talk about some of the points in that blog post. So again, I'm not driving traffic to my webinar. I'm just talking about the topic, getting the conversation going around courses. And of course, people know I'm coming out with something, but I like to earn it. So I want to earn it by giving as much great free value before I ask them to do anything.
And I think that's such a theme here, which we try to advocate, not only just for anyone who's listening, but also for our customers, for some of our customers in the agency, they're fighting against that. And the fact that you actually do need to give value up front. You're not going to withhold all the information. You've got to give a lot. And if you give your best stuff up front, they can only sort of imagine, geez, what if I get when I actually buy the paid product?
And yes, I love that.
Yeah, it's such an easy transition. And that's the way to do it, especially on a network like Facebook. You know, instead of withholding and saying, oh, the only way that you can get this is if you buy. But no, you know, pre-framing those people with content in the launch sequence is awesome. That's exactly the way that it should be done.
A lot of people that are just starting out, one of the areas they get stuck, at least what I hear from my students, is creating content. Like, that's a lot of ideas you have to come up with. And I want to be the first to say you are right. Like, I have been in a content cave trying to figure out what content do I want to give away for free? Where might there be a little bit of overlap between my free content and what's in my course? And then what do I save just for my course? And it hasn't been easy. I definitely have to push myself to come up with ideas that are unique across the entire launch, but it's so worth it in the end, just as you said.
Sometimes it's just a real logical structure. You know, I mean, you can give out all the content in like a big bulk, you know, but then people just want it like step by step by step, step one all the way through to step 10 or whatever it happens to be. But it might be the same content that you've already given away for free, but, you know, with some additional nuggets. But that just builds so much trust. And ultimately, the more they consume, we've certainly found this, the better your sales are in the end. That's for sure.
If you refer back to episode 43, Ryan talks about splintering. So if you have, you know, a core product that you know you want to sell, what can you splinter from that product? You know, tiny little nuggets all the way out to a blog post that will lead someone down the customer journey to ultimately wanting the bigger thing. So if you think about little pieces that you can pull from a product, you know, those a lot of times will make great webinars, great blog posts, anything free to get people interested.
That's brilliant. Yes, I love that.
Yeah. And it's like a book. Everybody, a lot of people are worried about, well, I've already written blog posts on everything that I want to write this book about. But most really good books, the author has already written a blog post about every chapter. Tim Ferriss, for example, you know, most yes. of the stuff that is in his books, he's already written a blog post about. So yeah, you've actually got a great episode talking about some of this stuff too, using like unique, you know, content upgrades, Facebook Live. I think you called it how to create a list building blitz campaign or something like that on your podcast. That was a great episode. Okay, so let's talk about step two, like the next step in the process.
So the next step in the process is to start sending traffic to my webinar. We typically don't do this until about 7 days before the webinar. And even that is a little bit much because, as you guys probably know, if people sign up for a webinar 3-4 days before it goes live, they're more likely to show up live. And I have a huge focus on getting my audience to show up live because it's a different experience altogether. And so we start running our ads directly to our webinar about 7 days in advance, just to kind of get them up and running and testing them out. And we will do that up until the very last webinar. So we do definitely put a huge focus on ad traffic to the webinar reg page.
So it's about 7 days in advance of each webinar, you're starting to run traffic into the webinars. And the webinars are basically still kind of, you're in that pre-launch, but you're educating people. At the end of each webinar now, even on the first one, is this starting to sell the program? Like, how's that work?
So when I go live with a webinar, it's go time with cart open. So the first day our cart opens is the first day I do a webinar. I sell on the webinar, and then we have a pretty aggressive, and I use that word nicely, but a pretty aggressive post-webinar follow-up with our email sequence that does really well. And we have that all ready to go. So when you get on a webinar, now it's like a whole different experience where I'm now making sure you understand not only how important it is to, let's say, create a course, but what that could look like for you and the benefits and the features and all that good stuff. And I weave in my program in the webinar and in the follow-up emails. But one thing to back up a little bit, I do the same webinar 4 or 5 times. Give or take a little, maybe 3 to 5 times, I guess, during a live promo, because I know people are going to show up at different times and have different schedules. So I make a huge effort to get them on live because we all know we convert better when they're there live and we answer their questions and they feel our presence with them.
So basically, it's the same basic webinar throughout that live, at least 4 to 5 times with the same main content of the webinar.
It is. Yep.
Can I just ask, how do you position that? Is it an encore? How do you sort of present it to the list? Hey, did you miss it the first time through? I'm doing an encore. How do you sort of position that? I think people probably want to know that.
Okay. So what we do is we first, let's say we're emailing my list. So we email my list and we give them 2 or 3 time options right away. So they get to choose. Yep. And we email my list twice in order to get them on those first 2 webinars. And then if they don't show up or sign up for the first 2 webinars, we start segmenting our list to see who's opening the emails, but maybe not taking action. If you're not opening any of the emails, we're just going to stop talking to you during the promo. But if you have been opening them, but just haven't signed up for a webinar yet, you're going to get that third email with the conversation like, look, we know you're busy. We see that you're interested in this and we want to give you as many opportunities to get on live. So here's one more opportunity. So once I've emailed my list 3 times, now I don't email them anymore about the webinar, even if I have one more coming up, and we rely heavily on Facebook ads.
Something that really works well for us when we're running traffic to a webinar, especially if it's 2, 3, or 4 days out from when they actually signed up, if you retarget them with ads that says, hey, don't forget your webinar in 3 days. Don't forget your webinar in 2 days. Don't forget your webinar in 1 day. You'll see a higher show up rate on the webinar, just simply reminding them through retargeting ads.
Brilliant. We just started only doing, hey, we're starting in an hour ads, but I love the lead up. That's even better.
And the key there is to not create new campaigns for each one, because it takes Facebook a little bit of time to start the campaign and the optimization process. We just go in and just switch out the images. So it says, you know, 72 hours, 48, 24, 12 hours. And we'll also do that as the launch is closing and, you know, we're about to take the product off the market. We'll use the same strategy just to really create some scarcity there.
All right, so that's the main promotion for the webinars. Once you're basically 7 days in, so 7 days leading up to the first webinar and leading up to each webinar, you're running Facebook ads to get them to register and show up. And then on the webinar, the cart goes live. So there's an offer made on the webinar. All right, so tell us about maybe the next week or 2 weeks. Tell me about the strategy that you're using there as you get towards the cart closing time.
This is where we get really strategic in terms of retargeting. So at this point, you will never be sent from a Facebook ad to a sales page unless you have attended one of my webinars. So I'm really careful because I don't love the idea of sending Facebook ad traffic directly to a sales page unless you've shown some genuine interest. So we might segment in terms of, okay, we upload the list of people that were on the webinar, but they did not buy. And from there, we feel comfortable sending them to the sales page because they already heard about it. Or of course, we are retargeting the heck out of that sales page and getting back in front of them. And then we've done in the past where if you signed up for the webinar, but you did not attend, we will maybe run ads to another live webinar or run ads to the replay if you signed up. So there's a lot of different strategies that we've tried and played around with, but at this point, you have to have shown some kind of interest in order to continue to see my ads for my course.
We've tried a similar strategy, uploading lists of people that registered but didn't attend, send them back to a replay page, people that attended but then didn't stay for the close, right?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because they need to be sort of re-educated. They didn't hear about the offer, so that offer might be just a little bit too far of a step for them. And then people that, you know, attended, you know, and saw the close, those are pretty straightforward, but so smart. And, you know, I think it's really important to segment those people because they all had very different experiences.
Tell me a little bit about you guys talking about an encore versus a replay. Is that different to you? I'm so curious.
Yes. So an encore would be more of a, hey, sign up. We're going to do this again live. And then a replay page, we can put a replay page in the show notes at digitalmarketer.com/podcast for our last webinar. It's just a simple page that has the video embedded, right? So they could watch the webinar and then a buy button's going to pop below.
I got it. But the encore, they have to show up at a certain time again.
Exactly. It's the same webinar live. And then a replay is more of, you know, a page where they can consume the webinar as many times as they would like.
Perfect. Okay. I've got it. That reminds me. So when I first started to do launches like this and started getting some momentum, I might have done one, maybe two webinars throughout my entire launch. And I was in a mastermind and one of the guys in the mastermind said, if you do webinars well, Amy, why aren't you doing more live webinars during a launch? Now we all know that they're exhausting and you've got to leverage yourself to, you have to have some boundaries. But for me, during a launch, it's like game on. And I think it's important for everybody listening to think, what do I do best and where do I shine and where do I see the biggest results? Do more of what's working and stop doing that stuff that you think you should be doing, because there's probably 20 things that I could be adding to this launch. But if I focus on what I do well, webinars happen to be that, then I'm just going all in there. So I think that's how I look at my business.
And I love that because it helps eliminate confusion. Sometimes people want to produce so many materials for a launch, right?
Yes.
You know, 3 lead magnets, 3 webinars, and, you know, all of these different assets, and you start to confuse the message. So just like Amy said, pick what you're good at. You know, at Digital Marketer, we're good at creating lead magnets and templates that we can exchange for email addresses. So guess what?
Yes, you are.
We stick to that in these scenarios. So really, really good message there. And simplicity, right? Running ads based off of the person's last action that they took. People will run ads for a launch and it's just buy, 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 buy. And they never educated the market. So I really love the way you do that.
We have a lot of customers that do webinars. It's like their primary means in which they drive their business. And it starts with a live one and then it turns into evergreen. But what we have noticed is the more times they consume the content on the webinar, the more likely they are to buy. And it only makes sense. I mean, I think if you're buying a product that's, you know, any significant amount of money, you want to check it out. You want to make sure that it's the right purchase for you. So, you know, that advice that you got, why don't you do it six times instead of just twice? I mean, we've got customers that do it twice. They do the first one and then it's, we call it an encore, but it's basically, it's the same thing, but just, you know, it's live as well. And then that's where they stop. But we notice that everyone who watches that second one, those are the people that buy the absolute most.
Right. So don't be afraid to not exclude. So sometimes people will exclude the people that attended for the next one,
exactly.
But maybe don't exclude them.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You guys might have just boosted my entire next launch.
Quick change.
We see so many different funnels. It was just a huge learning because, I mean, so many people are focused on just get new leads. Well, forget that. Use the leads that you already have and cultivate them. Those are the people that are going to buy and become raving fans for you. So big learning there.
Because a lot of times they're distracted. They might miss like 25 minutes of the webinar the first time through because they're doing something.
Oh, I've so done that. Yep.
Now, I'm going to give you another one that I think this is because technology is changing so fast that I'm seeing that's really, really, I think, a great experience for doing encore. So the definition is kind of unique now because of things like Stealth Seminar and like Ever Webinar.
Right.
And like using Ever Webinar, one thing I love is you can do an encore. And as long as you're telling the audience this, and I'll tell them that it's going to be a video in there, but you're on live chat. So that means you can be fully attentive to every single question while you're talking. But you're not trying to tell them you're live and you're not. You're just like, hey, I'm going to do an encore. I'm going to play the video, but I'm going to be on chat the whole time. So people love it.
That is so cool. During a live webinar, I can see out of the corner of my eye, people are chatting like crazy. And I'm thinking, first of all, what are they talking about? Why aren't they paying attention? And second, I'm thinking, I wish I could jump in there and talk to them right now.
Try it. So cool. I guarantee you'll love it and your people will. As far as the overall strategy, we're not talking about anything new, anything different. Same basic traffic strategy. Love talking about the webinar stuff because people need to consume stuff multiple times. So I'm going to recap real quick. So basically what you do is you start running ads about 7 days in advance of each webinar, and then you have a pretty aggressive post-webinar follow-up sequence. So if they've seen the offer, you're probably going to email them right back. You're going to send them to the sales page. If they haven't seen the offer, you're going to send them probably to an encore or a replay. And then you're going to do the webinar 4 to 5 times or so live during the live promo. And then you're never going to show an ad on Facebook to somebody sending them to a sales page unless they've attended a webinar. So you're going to make sure they've already attended, seen the offer in order to run that Facebook ad to them, sending them to the sales page.
Just a little word about the sales page. We have different sales pages depending on where you are in the funnel. So if you were on a webinar with me and I say, go to amyporterfield.com/whatever to go check it out and sign up. If you're there live with me, I send you to an abbreviated sales page with just the details you need to make a decision right away. But when I'm sending you via Facebook ad to a sales page, then you get the full sales page, the whole shebang. So we definitely alter our sales pages depending on where you're at.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Very smart.
That's cool. Yeah. We did actually notice that if we put the replay, like the final replay, even though there's really maybe one or two on the top of the sales page, we've noticed that conversions actually increase there. So it gives them one more bite at the apple.
You guys try the coolest things. You guys are really daring. Like you try things that I'm thinking, no way would I put the replay on a sales page because then it's going to deter their attention or this or that. But you're seeing great results.
Yeah. And these are attendees. These are people, I mean, that might have even, typically they'll register for maybe the first one and then maybe they don't watch that one, but maybe they either didn't watch it or we retarget them to the encore. But sometimes it's all three. Same, maybe they watched the first one, maybe they watched the encore, and then we send them back to the replay again on the top of the sales page, and we notice that conversions increase there. Just because it's, you know, maybe they were paying attention to the first part and not the last part, and, you know, and then they just want to see it again or fast forward. We make it very navigable so you can fast forward. What was that part she said at, you know, the middle section, that kind of thing. So it's
is that a word, navigable?
I just made it up.
You said it so well, though. Say it again.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you say something with authority, you just make up words here.
See if Sean can say it. Sean around? You see Sean around anywhere?
Navigable crunch.
Ooh, that was good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And remember, if you're sitting here listening right now, it's all about starting simple and then getting fancy later. Some of this stuff, you don't have to add all of this. You don't, I mean, you can have epic results without having every little thing that we're talking about. You know, like the reminder Facebook ads to show up. That's, I think, just the next level. It's just period. But if you, let's say you run a launch and you don't get it running on the first time, it's not going to be a game breaker. The ones that are going to make the biggest impact are those ones that are that pre-launch stuff that we talked about, that Amy talked about, with 2 weeks in advance, blog posts, podcasts, really warming people up and then hitting them hard, registering for the webinar, or maybe you're doing a video series, getting them in your funnel. Okay, so yeah, I think that's pretty good overview of the strategy. Is there anything that you want to kind of add in or that we're missing?
I really do think that you covered it all. I think keeping it as simple as possible when you're just starting out is the key to getting to the finish line, seeing success. You can tweak it, make it better, but build on your success instead of trying to do it all at once. I think that's my final word of wisdom there.
Cool, cool. Now you've got a program coming up that you're running ads for right now. If you're listening to this live, it's actually happening right now. And so you can go and you can see the experience that we're talking about and you can see exactly what Amy's doing. So tell us about your program and who it's for.
Well, thanks so much for asking. It's called Courses That Convert, and it's for those that want an asset in their business that they can actually promote over and over again, and it lives on beyond just that one quick hit. Also, it's for those coaches, consultants, freelancers who are now trading dollars for time, and they're getting to the point that they're done with that, and they want to create something in their business that will see the consistent revenue, but also make an impact in their students' lives. So I have a free webinar about it. Can I tell them where to go?
Let's do it for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you go to amyporterfield.com/courses, it's called How to Confidently Create Your First Six-Figure Course in 60 Days. It's all about creating a course in 60 days to have an asset where you can build six figures and beyond in your business. Thanks, guys, for letting me talk about that. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Amy, and good luck in your launch.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I've learned some new stuff. So watch me go.
Likewise.
Love it.
Yeah. Two-way street.
This
sure.
is fun.
Yeah, I love it. Definitely check out that website. Amy's stuff is great. It's really, she does a, like I said, just a really good job of explaining stuff so people can understand and implement. So I'd recommend checking out that webinar and her program as well. So Amy, thanks again for coming on. It's been great. And anything else we talked about, we'll have links to the show notes. So get to the show notes at digitalmarketer.com/podcast. And we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.